This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:06, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Uncle Ralph, how are you today, my friend?
A little bit nippy, but otherwise very well, thank you.
And I think we got lucky. Well, the people in the East Coast got lucky. Sandy didn't. She brought her wrath, but it wasn't as bad as what it could have been. And it seemed everyone followed the orders when they said get out. They were out, and everything seemed to be down to a minimum.
It's hard to imagine looking at the pictures this morning on TV of the devastation out there that they said it could have been a lot worse. I'm sure those folks out there that had their home destroyed by fire or water or both would not agree with that, but nothing is so bad it couldn't be worse.
I've been through one hurricane in my 34 years. I've been through one hurricane, and it was a family trip. We went down to Orlando to Disney, and Hurricane Aaron came through. And even though Orlando is kind of right in the center of the state, you still felt that wrath. And it's quite impressive, actually.
Mother Nature can be quite impressive.
I would use another expletive, but we're on the air, and I kind of like my job here, so I'm not going to use it. So yeah. I'm going to keep it clean. We have a good guest this week, Rhonda Jergeny. She's representing the annual Sauerbraten dinner for the Zion Lutheran Church of Litchfield. We're going to have that conversation right after this.
You're invited to stop by the annual Bean and Vegetable Soup Supper at the Union Avenue Christian Church on Monday, November 5th from 4:30 till 7. Prices, adults $6. Kids age 6 to 12, $3. Under 6, eats free. There'll be cornbread, cake, pie, coffee, and tea. Carryouts will be available. That's Monday, November 5th from 4:30 till 7. The Bean and Vegetable Soup Supper at the Union Avenue Christian Church in Litchfield. Plan to stop by. This message brought to you by the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show, Tobin Ott, alongside everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Ralph Niehaus. Our guest this week is Rhonda Jergeny from Save U Tech, and then also she's representing the Zion Lutheran Church of Litchfield, and they have their big annual fundraiser dinner. It's the Sauerbraten dinner and country store. Rhonda, long time no see. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you, Tobin?
I'm not bad. Not bad at all. And the annual fundraising dinner is coming up on Sunday.
It's coming up on Sunday, November 4th. It's our 43rd year of the Sauerbraten Dinner and Country Store, sponsored by Zion Lutheran School PTL and Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Our dinner starts at 11:30. Serving is from 11:30 to 4 in the dining room, 11:30 to 5 in carryout for the carryouts. Adult price ticket prices, $10 for adults, $5 for children. You can still get advance tickets up until Saturday evening. And if you would like to get advance tickets, you need to call 324-2033.
Now, with the being with the Lutheran churches, I know most of them have major fundraisers throughout the year, at least maybe one or two, i.e. Staunton has their annual sausage supper, and then they have a dinner banquet type thing later on in the year. Is this pretty much the church's biggest fundraiser?
This is one of the school's biggest fundraisers. It's the one that's been going the longest. We have other fundraisers that we do. We had just finished the Better Braid fundraiser that we had finished last week. But this one, of course, for 43 years, it's been the longest one going so far and everything else like that. Hope to have a great turnout. Last year we served over a little over 1,100 people.
That's impressive.
Like to see about 1,200 people come in the doors this Sunday, so it would be great to see.
Very, very impressive, and a very long running affair that you have had there and has been highly successful over the years. Let's talk a little bit about, in case there's folks out there that's been living in a cave or somewhere, let's talk a little bit about Sauerbraten. Explain Sauerbraten to our listeners.
Sauerbraten is a German marinated roast beef, and it's all prepared. All of the meat is prepared at IGA. IGA is very willing to help us cook the meat and everything like that.
It's hometown proud.
It's right. We're trying to do everything local. So it's the Sauerbraten. If you don't like the marinated Sauerbraten meat, because it has a little bit of a tang to it, you can have just the regular roast beef. We have mashed potatoes and gravy, but we have gravy that's roast beef gravy, and we also have sauerbraten gravy.
Mm.
We have red cabbage, green beans, applesauce, bread and butter, and of course, with all of our homemade desserts that you can get too.
You know, I'm kind of upset right now, Uncle Ralph. She's wetting my mouth with all this food. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she could have been a doll and brought us a sample while we were interviewing her.
It's a little early for samples, though, Tobin.
I know, but I'm just saying it would have been nice.
Well, it would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
It sounds delicious to me right now, too. I am ready for this, and we've got a big country store coming up on Sunday. It will be in the church parish hall. We've got multiple items that are going to be there. A few of the items are crocheted scarves and pot holders, blankets, afghans, homemade candies, breads, fudge, cinnamon rolls, Christmas items like wreaths, Christmas trees, Christmas decor. We've got gift baskets, Advent calendars, of course, Advent nativity sets. We've got homemade laundry detergent coming this year. We've got some other Christmas baskets, like a 31 bag, and many, many different types of candles and picture frames also in the country store. So come in and see that too.
And for people in the outlying area who may or may not be all that familiar with Litchfield, tell them the easiest way to get to your church.
The easiest way is to come off of Route 16, Union Street in Litchfield, turn on State Street, and go north down State Street, and you'll see the big church right there at 1301 North State. There's a big sauerbraten sign in the empty lot, and you'll see the church on the left-hand side of the street.
If you make it to the high school, you've gone too far.
Yeah, you've went too far. But it's very easy to find if you're familiar at all with Litchfield and State Street. Mm-hmm. Once you get on State Street, well, you're practically there.
Tell us a little bit about the PTL and the money raised on this. What will this be going for?
The money raised is going to go towards new textbooks for next year. I'm looking at getting some new, I think, language books and everything. And the cost of books is expensive for the school, so this is the one way to help the school out and purchase the books for the new.
Now the school, is it K through 8?
It's preschool through 8.
Preschool through 8, wow.
We have a preschool 3 and 4-year-old class, and we have kindergarten, which is the full-day kindergarten all the way through 8th grade.
And that's a sign of the times that you're starting to see, I guess, go away. I know Staunton is one of the few, and now Litchfield is one of the few towns that still has parochial schools still active, and it's a good thing to see that's still going on.
It is. It's a great thing. We have a little over 130 students in the school, and of course, always taking new students to come into the school. Small class sizes, great teachers. It's a lot of fun, and it's really nice to have your children in a one school, close family, church family.
It's the nearest thing, being from the older generation and taking my 8 years in a small country school, but it's the nearest thing we still have to that atmosphere of the old country school.
That is true, because everybody, first through eighth grade is all in one building. The preschool and kindergarten are in another building, but what is really nice is that the eighth graders will know the first graders, or the first graders will know the eighth graders. You don't have that whenever you go to a public school. And it's really nice to have that close feeling for all the kids there at the school also.
And it is, I guess, time consuming, and it does take a lot of effort to keep those doors for those schools open.
Yes, it's very expensive. And so whatever type of fundraisers that we can do to help out the school is what we try to do for them.
So we've got a country store coming up, and then the dinner.
And the dinner. And also, the Litchfield High School Jazz Band is coming from 1 to 2 o'clock to play in the gym, so you can come and listen to them while you come and enjoy your dinner.
That's a treat, too.
Yes.
Mark York does a heck of a job with the band, anything musical over there.
Yes.
And that's going to be a treasure that's going to be lost when he officially retires after this year.
Yeah. We're going to miss that. So we're looking forward to listening to the jazz band. So it will be the first time that they have been in the gym. They've always been outside. But without knowing what the weather's going to do this year, we decided to bring them in. And
Anyone coming to the dinner, is it, I guess, probably good to get there early or before church lets out? Because I know if it's anything like it is in Staunton when they have their sausage dinner, right after that service, it's like everyone goes right across the street and gets in line.
Right.
You might want to get there right before the benediction or whatever, just to get a spot.
Serving start as soon as church is released at 11:30. And, I mean, if you can't get there at 11:30, that's great, because usually, say 12:15, people are done with their meal and they're leaving their – or 12:15 to 12:30, they're leaving, and there'll be more seats available for you. We're serving until 4 o'clock in the dining room, so there's all afternoon. If you want to have a late Sunday meal or an early supper, that would be good.
And it's all – is it all you can eat?
All you can eat buffet style.
Wow.
You just go through the line, and if you want more once you're at the table, you can either go up and get it yourself, or there's servers there to help you.
And I might add, having been there, it's a very well prepared and a very delicious meal. And she said it's a family style, so you don't go away hungry. And,
yeah,
and getting back to the meal itself, you do have a rather large area there in the gym, so a lot of people can be seated at the same time.
That's right. We seat around 200 people at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can get a lot of people in the gym at one time. And we started last year, was the first year with the buffet style, going through line, and that worked out real well for everyone. So we're looking forward to do it again this year and want to have a great turnout.
All right, Rhonda, it's always a pleasure having you on. We're going to shift gears here. Before we went on the air, I had an interesting chat with Roger Weaver. He has a new book coming out, and we're going to promote that right now. And here's the interview with Roger Weaver, and coming up next week, we'll have Mindy Melton. So stay tuned for that, and here's Roger right now. We are here with Roger Weaver. Roger, we are here to talk about your new book, Slim Unscripted. Tell us a little bit about this book and how this all came about.
Well, I've been wanting to write a book for years and years, and 7 years ago, I had an accident which left me paralyzed, and one of my neighbors, Barbara Ann, we were sitting there talking in the hospital one day, and 2 years ago, so the end of September, and at that point, of course, I found out also that I had cancer, incurable cancer, and the doctor said I had 2 months to a year to live, and Barb turned around and says, "Well, Roger, you know, you've owned 8 or 10 companies and had all these employees and given to all these charities and fundraisers and doing this and doing that and always helping people. And some of your stories of when you lived in the county jail and all this, you ought to do a book." And I told her, I said, "Well, you better get off your butt and hurry up. Doctor said only got a year to live." And so we started it, and we started on October the 14th, and it's taken us 2 years, and we just went to the publisher the 14th of this year and got the first sample back yesterday, and we hired the gal, Susan Jeffers, that edited the Harry Potter books. We found her. And she got involved with us, and it's just turned out to be a labor of love, and a lot of it's made me cry, and a lot of it's made me laugh at the same time.
And I think one of the neat things on it, and it's in the back of the book, and it's a neat little catchphrase, my dad, my life, my stories, and as you mentioned, this is a reflection of your dad, who was a prominent sheriff,
yes,
and some of his stories. And one interesting thing that I think about is your dad was a tall guy from the pictures that I've seen, but he never carried a gun or a weapon, and yet he still was successful as being a sheriff.
Yeah, he was 6'9". That's without his boots on or his Stetson. He always wore a Stetson and always had a Roy 10 cigar hanging out of his mouth. And he was one of the smallest of the family. His brothers, the Weaver family, started at 6 foot, 6'2", 6'5", 6'7", 6'9", 6'10", and 6'11".
That's a good basketball team.
Yeah, it was. And the one that was 6'10" was a professional fighter, fought Max Baer and talking about Joe Louis and Primo Cannaro, and there's a chapter in here on that, and pictures that somebody's never seen. And then the other uncle was a big rancher out in Kansas, had a 10,000-acre ranch and just thousands and thousands of head of cattle. But Dad got into law enforcement, and his theory was that if he was carrying a gun and you were carrying a gun and you ran across each other, somebody's going to get shot. And well, the main reason, I guess, is he didn't know how to shoot a gun. There was one guy trying to sell him a gun because we had a jailbreak one night, and Dad thought our night jailer, Claude, had fallen down the stairs. So Mom got up because we lived there in the county jail. Mm-hmm. And so Mom was coming down the hallway and turned the corner, and Billy Gregory was coming through the other way with another prisoner. They'd broke out of jail, and the gun poked Mom in the belly and whatever, and they turned around and escaped. And Billy told his mother, said, "Now, if that would have been Slim, I'd have blew his guts out," and because he didn't like my dad. But anyway, Dad was going to buy Mom a little gun for her to carry. And this guy was trying to sell him one. He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Throw it in the glove box and I'll let her look at it." Well, coincidentally, a couple nights later, he was out chasing an escaped convict. And it was snowing and sleeting and everything. And his Stetson was always up there on the dash because it was too tall. He had always read the headliner. Mm-hmm. And his heater didn't work, or defroster, none of that. So he kept hanging his head out the window and trying to, you know, get the guy caught and whatever, pulled over. And he remembered there was his gun in the glove box. So he reached over and pulled the gun out and left-handed, shot six times, still didn't get the, didn't, he thought he was going to blow the tire out, but it didn't work. And he finally bumped him and got him run off the road and finally got him caught and whatever. And the next day he noticed there was five bullet holes in the hood of his car. And he doesn't know where the other one went. So that was his only gun experience.
Was this an easy experience to reflect on your life and your life with your father and everything like that? Was this easy to come up with?
No, it was tough. We were so close. And reminiscing the stories, as I said, it's brought a lot of tears to me to go over all this. My wife read the first couple of chapters after months and months, and one chapter made her laugh, and the next chapter made her cry, and she found out things that I have found out things that Barb has researched and told me that I didn't even know about. There was a town in Oklahoma in Mays County called Hood Owl, and there's nobody lives there. There's a town, but there's nobody lives there. Population zero. I never knew that. And I think she found out where my grandfather was born, and she's just researched the hell out of this and has told me stories that I didn't even know about.
You made a mention about living in a county jail. That's got to be a torturous experience or an experience for a child growing up.
Well, you know, a lot of kids, when they're in school, they have, bring your favorite thing to school, or I don't remember what it's called, show and tell. And of course, I never had anything to show, so I would invite the class, and we'd take them to the county jail and take them for a tour of the jail upstairs, and then Dad would take them all next door and buy them all ice cream and stuff. But my one brother, Ron, there was three of us, Don, Ron, and then myself. Ron and I kind of made a little business venture living there in the jail. The prisoners being all upstairs, they had no way to go and buy things or get soda pops or tobacco or ice cream or hamburgers or whatever they wanted. So they would, hey, kid, come here a minute, you know. And they'd cut a hole in the screen and flip out money to us. And we'd run down and get some of their stuff for them that they wanted. And of course, we always got a soda pop or an ice cream out of whatever. And a couple of ventures, they couldn't figure out how this one guy was getting drunk and he was in jail. And it finally came down that they realized I was going to the store and buying this guy Men's Gillette shaving lotion, 2-3 bottles at a time. And he was drinking it. That's how much of a wino he was. And then there was another instance where we actually went to Las Vegas and extradited a prisoner back to Oklahoma that was writing hot checks. Back then they had the bank drafts. Just a blank and you write in the name of the bank and you can cash a check. And he wrote a bunch of hot checks and he was in jail and he hollered at my brother Ron and he said, hey kid, he said, I'll give you a dollar if you'll run down and cash his check for me. And Ron said, sure, you know, easy money. Ran down the store and cashed a check and the guy's in jail for writing hot checks. So from that point on, we were kind of scrutinized as far as what we could do for the prisoners. But it was a lot of fun. It was different. You know, it's an experience that almost nobody would ever go through.
Tell us a little bit. When will the book be officially out for purchase?
Next Saturday, the 3rd of November, we're going to have a book signing at the Maverick Steakhouse here in Litchfield. It's right behind the Walgreens. And it's from 11 to 3. Mm-hmm. The first 100 will be delivered on Friday. And so we're going to take care of the book signing first. Then what's left over, I'll start filling orders that I've already got. And then the following week, we're going to Oklahoma. And I'm going to have another 100 delivered down there for a book signing down there.
And, of course, the proceeds, and we were talking about this before we went on the air, will be donated to charity.
Yeah, that was something Barb and I, we came up with, and we don't want the money. I guess we did it for the labor of love. And I've been so heavily involved with St. Jude's and trying to help people and kids and feed the hungry and all of this. We decided all the proceeds, there's only 2 free books we're giving away. We're going to send one to the Oprah's Book Club, and a gal that I met in Florida, her boyfriend is a cameraman for Dave Letterman. And those are the only 2 freebies we're giving away. And if Barb wants another one, she's got to pay for it. Same way with me. And we're going to donate all the proceeds to charity. Mainly St. Jude's. They've been close to my heart for years. Or anybody else that needs some help. It doesn't have to be a charity like that. It could be somebody's got cancer that needs something, you know, that Medicare or the insurance hadn't paid for. Just something to help people. That's what this is all about.
Roger, congratulations on the book. It's called Slim Unscripted, and best of luck and enjoy the... And enjoy the ride with the book.
Well, we hope it's successful, and we want to turn around and once I go through this, we'll turn. You know, I can go back and reprint anytime I want, and it's $27.95 plus $4 shipping and handling, hopefully we can be successful and help a lot of kids and a lot of people.
And, of course, as we come to a close, anyone seeking more information about Slim Unscripted, they could find you on Facebook or they could also email you. And what's the email address?
It's Roger, RODGERC, at consolidated.net.
All right. Roger, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. We'd like to thank our guests, Roger Reaver and Rhonda Jergeny, for appearing. Coming up next week, Mindy Melton will be our guest for the whole half hour. Until next time, for Uncle Ralph, I'm Tobin Ott. We'll talk to you next week. So long.